Hello, everyone. Welcome once again to Five Questions Only. I'm your host, Fox. Today, I have Julius Tillery. Hopefully, I'm pronouncing that name correctly. Of yes. Black Cotton. Welcome, Julius. How's it going?
Oh, everything's going well here. Just a little stuck in between snow and ice and the East Coast weather, but everything's good.
Oh, that's awesome. Can we go ahead and tell the audience a little bit about Black Cotton? Because when I first saw it on someone else's Instagram page, and I was just like, Black Cotton, what is this? And then I saw that you were a cotton farmers, and I was just like, you know, it's 2017. Well, it's 2018 now. Whoa, you know, I was just so surprised that there was Black farmers who dealt with cotton. So if you can go ahead and elaborate first on, you know, the Black Cotton Company.
Okay, well, Julius Tillery, like you've introduced me, and I've been a lifelong cotton farmer, and I actually have two full-time jobs, farming, and also I work in agriculture as a resource provider, and pretty much do like nonprofit advocacy work. And what I noticed in a lot of conferences that I've been going to in the last few years, there was less cotton farmers, Black cotton farmers. And I grew up in rural Northampton County of northeastern North Carolina. It was farm country. And I grew up knowing so many cotton farmers and commodity farmers in general. So, like, not even just cotton, but soybeans, tobacco, peanuts, sweet potatoes. But I started noticing that number was dwindling. And, you know, with farmers being the average age around 60 now, farmers getting older and, you know, they pass away. And who do they pass their land off to? And who's going to follow behind it? So a lot of things was coming into play. But in the last couple of years, I noticed there wasn't that many Black cotton farmers. And I went to a conference, our North Carolina Minority Landowner Conference, and I asked how many cotton farmers were there. No one raised their hands. And no one said anything. And I started thinking, wait a minute, I might be the last one. So I started getting online in 2016. I tried to find out those other Black cotton farmers and put a challenge out there, show me your crops. So from there, I started realizing that I may be the last Black cotton farmer left. So I need to make sure that, you know, I do something that, you know, have a business to pass on to future generations or inspire us just so we wouldn't be extinct. And it's kind of turned into this business that I have now, Black Cotton.
Okay, that's awesome. Now, I'm not sure if I heard correctly. How did you get into cotton farming?
Well, this is a business that's been passed down to my father, my grandfather. Well, my grandfather just passed away this year. He was 93, but my father and I, we did it with my grandfather, and his father did it before him, and his father did it before him. It's not really an uncommon thing to be a cotton farmer in our part of the country, but Black farmers have just been dwindling in general that it's become uncommon. Okay. So, I mean, we've grown up knowing hundreds and hundreds of families that was involved in cotton that's Black.
Okay, that's awesome. Like, you know, I'm from the inner city, so it was just something I just wasn't exposed to.
Yeah, and I think this business, I'm kind of educating people on things they don't know about now. Because, like, in the past, like, our parents' generation and their parents' generation, more people lived in rural areas, so they understood rural culture. But I feel like now there's less people that understand rural culture because they've been born and raised in urban areas, that they don't understand that the rural culture exists. Like, to me, you know, cotton culture is just as important to Black people. I mean, like, farming culture is just as important to Black people as anything else. Because in my area, a lot of Black folks are doing it. But now it's less and less Black people doing it. So, you know, it's like, man, I got to show people and educate people on this stuff.
Right, right. Now, you thought of a company and you called it Black Cotton. Could you elaborate on the company Black Cotton?
Yeah, so basically cotton is becoming a trendy fabric and a plant used in floral businesses and decorations in general. Like, people brought it to my attention. I started looking online on Pinterest, and I had a friend one day tell me they bought some cotton from Harris Teeter. And I was like, whoa, wait a minute. You bought cotton from Harris Teeter? See, like, my family, we usually raise around 50 acres of cotton. So, you know, we seen thousands and thousands of pounds of cotton every year, mm-hmm. You know, so And we never sold cotton differently until last year. I mean, the 2017 was the first time we ever sold cotton, you know, outside of the cooperative that we sell it in now. So, I mean, typically the business of cotton, everybody raises as much cotton as possible and sell it to, you know, a cooperative that sells the cotton to the textile factories and stuff like that. Like, this is kind of new that people are using cotton as decorations right now.
Right. I see it as art.
Yes, that's what a lot of people are, decorations and stuff like that. And that's like a new thing. So when I saw that the small businesses and Harris Teeters and the Hobby Lobbies are doing it, I was like, well, I might as well get into it too. Because a lot of times, even for like the Harris Teeters and Hobby Lobbies, they not even using real cotton. They use some Asian press stuff that looks like cotton.
If someone was to purchase the black cotton from you, how long does it last? Like, cause yeah, I'm so ignorant about, you know, the cotton in its pure form.
Well, you're not alone. I mean, I talked to like representatives from Cotton Incorporated, and they have no clue about how decor cotton is, you know, used and science. Like everybody, this is a really new thing that's happening about people just trying to store cotton as art. But typically it lasts for as long as you don't bother it. Like, as long as you don't take the cotton out. I mean, because the fibers of the cotton is not going bad. Like, imagine your clothes. Like, they don't disappear. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So it's different than most agricultural products that's edible. This is like a different type of product. So it don't go bad. Like, I haven't had anyone say, oh, my stuff looks bad now after a few months or so. It's just like once you buy it, you can have it as long as you want to have it.
Okay, awesome. And this is great. It is art, and you're selling vases along with it and different things, decal, and getting even more creative with selling. How has the company grown? How have you seen, you know, you've gotten back the likes and the appreciation from your customers?
Well, when I first started doing this, I didn't know how I was going to, you know, relay the message of people buy this cotton pretty much. You know, I just knew that I wanted to sell it because people were selling it. And I knew that I wanted people to buy mine, especially our people, black people. I was like, yo, there's no way our black people should be going to Harris Teeter to buy cotton when I'm growing cotton every year. So I had to figure out how to capture people's attention, you know, same way that every other business is catching people's attention. So that was a lot of the vases and decorative looks. And so I've started to come up with a concept of decorative looks that people respond to by using the internet and posting stuff. Like, what people give me a lot of likes for and, you know, send me DMs saying, hey, I like this. That's what I try to, you know, cater my, you know, taste of products in. So it's been really organic building.
That's awesome. Yeah, because I saw it, Black Cotton, from another Instagrammer, and they spoke about it. And I was just like, at first, you know, it's something new to me. I was just like, cotton, you know? And then they started to speak about how it's art. And I was just like, you know what? They are right. I need my first art piece for the new year. And who has helped you along the way with this? I know this is a family business. But when you, I guess, brought it up to your family, was everyone on board, or, you know, did you get looks like, what are you talking about? Because we're so used to doing it one way.
Well, absolutely. With my family, you know, like, especially my grandfather, it's all about what you show them, not what you tell them. Like, I could tell them a great idea, but if I can't show them how it's going to work, then it's not real. So to deal with other people, like, I have some friends that's in the decor world, definitely black women. I want to give a shout out to black women, because y'all really have helped made a space for me business wise, because that's a lot of my interests come from black women, like particularly Nephie Walker from New York. I mean, very popular interior decorator. Like, since she's been using my cotton to decorate, it's really been increasing the eyes that's watching my business. So I want to give her a shout out. I want to give a shout out to fashion people like Her Chaos Girls. That's my friend. That's on Instagram. I want to give a shout out to people who work with me closest and from my community, like Kenya Robinson, Latoya Williams. Definitely the most important person that's helped me in this design stuff is Angel Stevens. She's my lead designer, and she's so creative. Like, really, that the whole concept of what black cotton looks like instead of the concept of what the business means, came from just designs this Angel has been really been making. She's really in tune with what people like. So I want to give Angel Stevens, most definitely my MVP, a shout out. So Angel, you hear this, just know your boy Jay Tillery loves you. Oh, well, my friends call me Jay, but my real first name is Julius. So
okay. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, it takes a team to get up and grow it as well. The business.
And can I say one more thing? Like, yeah. With this black cotton thing, like all the people I've been naming is black people. I really wanted to create this business to empower black entrepreneurship, black business. Like, because I know how it is when us black folks sometimes in the business world, we feel overwhelmed. And when we try to get to the scale up approach, like I've tried other businesses before I've done this business. And to find out when it comes to the resources that's being sourced, they're always owned by white people. Because they have the most, you know, access to capital. You know, like any black business that's trying to scale up, they're going to have to deal with some white investor. And I didn't like that feeling. So, like, when I start looking around my farm on things that I could scale up on, cotton was the most obvious thing because we grow 50 acres of this stuff. I mean, we're raising thousands and thousands of pounds of cotton that we sell cheaply. Like, cotton sells for 77 cents a pound. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so like think about every t-shirt you wear, it's about half a pound of cotton. So a farmer sees around 30 some cents on every t-shirt.
So
is farming no longer a
lucrative business? It's good enough, obviously, to, you know, keep a roof over your head, and it's been passed down from generation, which is awesome. And not many people have things passed down from generations to them.
Let's talk about that as well, because lucrative. A lot of farmers in rural areas, black farmers, they hold on to their property because the pride they have and their family having it. And see, like when you told me initially in this conversation that when you heard cotton farmers, you said, ugh, there used to be this thing that black folks would move away from the farm and look down on folks who stayed near their farms. You know, especially in like, you know, black folks would move up north to New York or something like that. There used to be this urban air of I'm better than the country hicks that stayed at the farm. You get what I mean? So like this whole notion that black people look down upon cotton farming is no different than black people who look down on all farming. Mm. But it's interesting how things turn their head around, because, you know, like a generation ago, my dad, for him to go back to the farm, it meant that he didn't live in a city and didn't probably make city earnings. So he was looked down upon, like, why you got a college degree and you still working on a farm, you know? So there's norms to this stuff. But now with where we at in black business, for a black person to still be able to have this significant amount of land, it's like, whoa, wait a minute. Y'all maybe had the right answer. I remember when I first started working professionally with the organization I'm with now, there was a friend of mine, another black woman, Michelle Lanier. She said in a conference, she was a speaker, she said, to be a black farmer means you are a genius. And that was the first time I ever heard that. And I was like, wait a minute. So I always thought that if you was on the farm, you didn't have an education. Like, knowing where we're from, that which is a very poor area, and, you know, black rural, you know, genius is not something people associate with our rural type of living. But now to be able to survive over some of the things that black folks who've gone to urban areas and then, you know, feel stagnated by, like the ability to scale up. You know, now I feel like black folks who look at black people with land and product that and create their own products, they are looked at and appreciated differently. So this business of black cotton is really a timing thing as well. I mean, timing with the way people connect on the internet. Like, I've sold products all over the country. I probably sold to like 20 states now, which is a crazy thought that I've sold cotton in 20 different states when I never sold cotton outside of like just my farm, besides to the cooperative who comes and pick up the cotton.
Awesome and educational, you know, and just basically educating people on, because you're not thinking about it. You're going to your day-to-day life throughout life, and there's so many other jobs and careers and things you can be that you can do, that you can be fulfilled by.
Absolutely.
And you just took something that you already had, that you already knew, and was like, let me do a little bit more with it. Expand the family business.
Yes, and I really want to encourage young Black adults, like of our generation, to utilize what our families have. Like, I didn't look at our farm as something important for a long time because we never thought about it like that. You know, we knew that it's important to the family, but we didn't know how important it is to our people. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like if more Black people knew how important their farms are going to be to just Black people in general, they wouldn't sell their land. And we've known a lot of Black folks have sold their land because, you know, pressures come on them, all these things you can buy, these trips you can go on. Folks who not doing anything on their land and they just inherited it, they're going to be like, let it go. I'm not trying to pay taxes on this. Like, our family being together and still having this land is all in sacrifice that we care about our family. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. we care about the family and our family land more than anything else. So that's why we, you know, not to say that we haven't explored opportunities, but that means we always kept our family first. You know, definitely from my father, his sisters, and even my generation, my first cousins, we all care about our farm. So we care to make sure to keep it up, and we're going to work it. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like for me to be a leader in my family, I have to, you know, come up with this business where I'm saying, hey, instead of just sustaining it, let's thrive off of it. Let's show people that we can make money off of it. That's going to change the whole outlook of how the farm going to flow in the future.
Yeah, that is awesome. That's a great outlook to have. With everything on this short journey, because it's still a new business, but it's grown so much. Have you ever felt like a fear of maybe, I'm not sure how you feel about the word failure within the business, but have you ever felt that fear of, wait a minute, should I step out and do this? Or, you know what? What the heck? Let's see. Let me just do it.
I don't have a lot of big fears with this business because it's not like I'm not like taking out a lot of debt to do it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, that's probably what makes this business really special is I'm just using the resources that I have. You know, I'm not trying to like, you know, go out on a limb and take on a lot of debt. So then I have a lot of risk involved. But, you know, I didn't get on smartphones and social media to 2016. Like, I was off of Facebook in 2016, and I had a flip phone in 2016. But to promote this business, I had to not be afraid of, you know, connecting with people through social media and stuff. So that was probably one of the things I had to probably get over the most is the fear of, you know, just connectivity. Because I got so wary of how people talk to each other online and stuff and how we can get obsessed with, you know, comparing ourselves to other people that I cut off from all this stuff in 2010. Yeah. Like, and just, it's funny how fast my Facebook following's grown. You know, I have like 3,000 followers on Instagram now, and I didn't have Instagram until the end of 2016, and really 2017 was my whole push.
That is awesome. That is awesome. And you have the blackcotton.us website. I said that correctly, right?
Yep.
Okay. What right now, what else are you doing at the moment?
With Black Cotton?
With Black Cotton.
Well, you know, just I just opened up a little office location near my farm. But this weather slowed me down. So I couldn't, like, I opened it at the beginning of the year. But I live in Durham, North Carolina. So I'm about like about an hour 45, hour 50 minutes from that office location. And but with the office location available, I'm going to create more inventory that I can market and promote for events. Like, I'm just trying to grow the business by supply side, not I mean, demand too. I mean, I had to do, you know, do the marketing to pick up demand and interest, but I also feel like I can get better orders and do a better job of being a better business person for the business by creating the space and creating the inventory.
Okay. Okay. Awesome. Can you go ahead and tell our audience where they can find you and where they can get Black Cotton from?
Yeah, absolutely. You can find me on Instagram at blackcotton.us. My website is www.blackcotton.us. I even have a Facebook page now on Black Cotton, at Black Cotton Decor. And you can just connect with me. I'm a normal person. If you just want to send me a message, I'm always responding back.
And that's awesome. Thank you so much, Mr. Julius Tillery of Black and Cotton. Thank you for being on the show today and gracing us with your presence.
Thank you. Thanks to all the people interested. Love your show.
Thank you. Thank you. That's been it for Five Questions Only. I'm your host, Fox. And once again, that was our guest, Mr. Julius Tillery of Black Cotton. And you can find that at www.blackcotton.us. All right. Thank you.